Hello, friends. Welcome to Storytime with Janet Keeler. I'm Janet, a former journalist and now a journalism professor at Eckerd College in St. Petersburg. I'm also a lover of books for children. My collection of them continues to grow, even though my own child is long past story time. This is a podcast for grandparents, parents, caregivers, babysitters, and kids of all ages who want to join me in the joyful celebration of reading children's books aloud. In the first year of Storytime, I've interviewed children's book authors, librarians, booksellers, story reading pros, and others who talked about the importance of reading out loud to children, especially as a way to sharpen their emotional intelligence and nurture creativity. All good things. But I hope reading to kids isn't just about those long-term benefits, because honestly, anyone who's a parent out there knows that your plans of molding these children into what they're going to be as adults sometimes changes. But that shouldn't dissuade you from celebrating the here and now, you know, like living in the moment. That's really what reading books aloud to kids is all about, I think. But what about adults reading to adults? Kind of a weird concept, isn't it? We aren't very old when the practice of reading aloud stops, unless we're reading to kids, but being read to doesn't really go on forever. You know, we grow up, I guess. So for this episode, I'm going solo, and thank you for joining me, because I want to share some research that's been done on the benefits of adults reading adult material out loud. Adult material, that sounds kind of fun, doesn't it? But, you know, I just mean stuff that's for adults, not children's books, though you can do those too. So either to themselves out loud or to someone else. You know, how better can you remember the characters and their relationships in Homer's Odyssey, you know, than by reading them out loud? But don't worry, you're still going to get a story at the end of the podcast today. I won't be reading Homer's Odyssey to you. So some research I found from various sources just in the past few months keeps creeping into my feed. And some of these that I'm going to tell you about come from a website called literaturelust.com, which, of course, is just a great name. But I found stuff on the BBC and CNN and several other places. So people are looking at this concept of reading aloud and what it does for people. So there's four things that I want to mention to you and kind of talk a little bit about each one of them. So reading aloud, the new research is saying, can help improve memory. And my gosh, don't many of us need that? You know, some may say, well, we're just talking to ourselves. But a Canadian researcher claims that the simple act of saying the words help with information retention. So, you know, if you see me walking around a grocery store mouthing my list, be kind. See, I'm just trying to remember what I need. But that kind of makes sense, that the actual just forming of the words and speaking them into the air helps your memory. It also can increase comprehension. Text is often complicated, and I know this from my college teaching. Students often, you know, struggle with complicated concepts, and now I'm thinking maybe if I get them in groups and they read some of the information out loud to each other, they're gonna understand it a little better. So this practice can help you sharpen focus and eliminate distractions. And I'm thinking the number one distraction might just be the phone, don't you think? And then reading out loud also improves social connections. I think we know that from reading to children, and certainly we know it from the things that the guests of Storytime have told us about how when they read to children, there's a kind of a coziness and a closeness and a bonding that takes place over that. So we sort of lose that, we lose that practice as we get older, and we don't really do that kind of thing. But it still can improve social connections. It's kind of a gift of time, if you think about it. You know, there's beautiful stories to read, and they're really interesting. But this gift of time is something that's becomes, I think, a little bit more special as we get older, and really more precious as we spend more time on our daily activities and being, you know, with fractured with all kinds of things that they do. I think of like all the things I do in my life, and I'm sure the same is true in yours. We have all this stuff going on. And it's very compartmentalize what you're doing, but this gift of time is kind of a huge thing. Kids know this. Kids understand that specialness of being read to and what that means to them. And I think, again, we kind of forget that as we get a little bit older. So reading out loud is just flat out entertainment. You know, sometimes if you're scrolling through your phone and you find a funny meme or a funny video on social media or a quote or something like that, you often are sharing that with someone next to you. Maybe a passage of a story that particularly cracked you up or moved you. So there's a lot of community in sharing the written word. And again, we lose that as we get older. So this new research, these four ideas, that it helps improve memory, increases comprehension, improves social connections, and it's entertaining. Those ideas, researchers are looking more and more at kind of as we get disconnected from each other through devices and things like that. So this reading out loud game is not just for kids. So are you ready to try that with your significant other to, you know, start alternating chapters? And by the way, I have not told my husband that we may be, you know, reading some books together, which is interesting because I'm a fiction person. He's nonfiction. So I guess we'll have to not only alternate chapters, but alternate book genres. So, but still, as always, I want to encourage reading books to children. You know, there are many old favorites. I'm sure you have them. When we've had people come in to read books, they've brought in some very classic books and then some new books. But it seems to me every week there's new books hitting the stores and the library. So I was walking through the when I go to our public libraries in St. Pete, I always make a beeline for the children's book section. Usually, it's so fun to look through. They do great displays. They've got all these new books, tons of colorful things, and I'm always delightfully overwhelmed at the variety of topics. So the other thing I do is when I just got back from a long vacation, and wherever I go, I'm like making a beeline too, not just for the children's book sections, but for bookstores. So I found this book at a bookshop on Cape Cod. And which is not that surprising because of the topic. It's called Beacons of Light, A Journey Through the World of Lighthouses. It's by Gemma Kooman and just published this year. It's a beautiful book that takes you all around the world about lighthouses. So then I go to the library and I'm looking around there and I checked out Lighthouse Ladies, Shining a Spotlight on Hardy Heroines, which is little vignettes of women lighthouse keepers. So here's two books, and I bring them up. And that book by the Lighthouse Ladies book is by Chris Coronado. And I bring that up because whatever your kids are interested in, you're going to be able to find books that sort of feed that interest. Now, don't get too upset if you have a kid like I did who at some point says, I'm going to be a paleontologist. And we invested a lot of money in all kinds of dinosaur things. And I used to keep in my purse when he was small, a little small paintbrush and a little dinosaur in case we had to, like, you know, brush around dirt and try to excavate something, you know, when we're looking for something to occupy his time. And then, boom, that passed. So Oh, and embarrassingly, we actually had a show we did at night called Dinomite, where we talked about, you know, on camera, we talked about dinosaurs. But that's a whole nother topic. But don't be surprised if those things go away, those things that they're so interested in. He still remembers Dinomite. But I just bring that up to say that there's books in the library, especially in the library, that can feed any interest a kid has. Bugs and birds, city experiences, rural life, you know, adventures on land, sea, and outer space, dinosaurs, trucks, friendships, global cultures, just so many things. These books offer kids, especially if you get kind of a collection on one topic, they really offer kids the opportunity for a deep dive. Take them with you, and you know, you'll come out with a handful of books, and all of them ready to read out loud. So today, as we continue talking about, you know, our love affair with reading out loud, I found this book when I was looking at the children's bookstore or the children's book section at a bookstore up north, and I just loved it. It's by a guy who's won a Caldecott Medal, Matthew Cordell, and he's one of those guys who does, you know, the story and the illustrations. And the illustrations in this book, which is called 102, or 102, we'll say it 102, he was using some of his daughter's pretty colored pens Yeah, they multicolored, multi-scented ballpoint pens on pen, and he really liked the way they smelled. And so this entire book was illustrated with these multicolored pens. And of course, we can't smell it; it's not scratch and sniff. But when I think about illustration now and AI and computer generated, it's so clearly that this is definitely a work by hand, which makes it to me a little bit more, kind of more enchanting. So anyway, 102 is about a little boy named George. He's sent home from school with a fever, and you can kind of envision what this 102 is going to be about. And he wakes up in the night to embark on an adventure of imagination with some very small friends. Cordell knows that children are enchanted by secret passages, and he finds an inventive one for his character and readers. So I'll read this to you. 102 by Matthew Cordell. I remember it clearly on that day, October 2nd. I saw a mouse at 102 Greenbrier Drive, scurrying between my feet and across the floor. Mama did not like it. On that day, October 2nd, I'd been sent home early from school with a fever of 101. I did not like it. "Gotcha," said Mom, clapping down a bowl over our little intruder. Its tiny teeth pinched at something small and black. Was it a bean? The mouse was not interested in the sunflower seeds. I climbed into the bed. Oh, I have to back up. See, these pages stick together. Okay, so this does happen when we're reading stories. Okay, so I'll just go back. Its tiny teeth pinched at something small and black. Was it a bean? "We need to get rid of it, George," Mama said. "We need to keep it, Mama," I said, placing it into Gulliver's old tank. I gave it a saucer of water and some sunflower seeds. "Don't worry," I whispered. "You'll be safe with me." The next page shows an illustration of a beautiful cup with full of hot tea and a little honey bear there. And there's an old school thermometer, and the temperature gauge reads 102. The mouse was not interested in the sunflower seeds. I climbed into bed, achy and shivery. Mama touched my forehead, then applied a cool towel. "Your temperature's gone up a scotch to 102," she said. Then she covered me with two heavy blankets. "A good sweat will break that fever," Mama said and kissed my warm pink cheek. "And tomorrow we get rid of it." Mama looked at Gulliver's tank. She shut off the light. And to the sound of soft scratching, I fell asleep. My eyes snapped open at precisely 1:02 a.m., awoken by a chirp, a cricket. It chirped again, then hopped to the edge of the bed, motioning for me. I felt less achy, less shivery, so I followed. The cricket jumped onto my shoulder and rubbed its legs together, and as I slid off the bed, I shrank down to the size of almost a cricket, but more like the size of a mouse, and the cricket sounded different too. "There's something you need to see," she said. The cricket hopped toward the wall, then disappeared into a large crack, so I followed. Within the wall was a vast miniature world adorned with strings of lights. We crept through a maze of passages, past treasures lying here and there, a collection of paper clips, a cracked marble, a strange old coin. Continuing on, we passed an excited centipede. "A new friend," he said. "A family of ants. Dance by the light of the moon," they sang. And a large spider cradling a sack of eggs. She hissed. "Don't mind her," said the cricket. "We mothers must protect our young." Soon a cool draft swept over us. A hint of moonlight shone through an opening at the end of the passage. The cricket hopped through and into the outdoors, and I followed. We worked our way through a seemingly endless network of grass. We met some young crickets and a moth. But suddenly the mood changed. "Look out!" yelled the moth. An owl silently descended upon us. Its sharp talons snapped together, barely missing me. We retreated to a large oak with a cavity at the base of its trunk. I made my way in, led by a familiar, tasty smell. "Won't you sit down," said a mouse. "We need your help. But first, please, some tea. I understand you aren't feeling well." I thanked my host and slowly drank. Once I had finished, the mouse spoke again. "We need one more bean," she said. "I'm making soup," she said, "102 bean soup. There was a list of 102 beans. All but one was crossed out. The black bean remained. Junior will need all 102 beans to get better, said the mouse. Junior was in bed beneath two blankets, looking much how I'd felt before. Father went to fetch the last bean, but he's not returned, she said. The black bean remains. Can you help? I nodded. You're a special boy, George, she said. The cricket was waiting for me. Do you know what you need to do? She asked. I nodded. We made our way back through the grass. The owl hooted softly in the distance. We saw the centipede and the singing ants, and now the spider was smiling. 102 babies, she explained. We passed the paper clips, the cracked marble, the strange old coin. I picked it up and put it in my pocket. Back in my bedroom, the crickets brushed against my ankle and rubbed her legs together. I shot up to the size of almost 102 crickets, but really more like the size of a George. I'm sorry, Father, I said, lifting him out of Gulliver's tank. I hope Junior feels better soon. The mouse removed the bean from its mouth for a moment to squeak. He scurried to the crack, then vanished into the wall. Exhausted, I climbed into bed. And with one last chirp of the cricket, I fell asleep. I awoke to a tasty, familiar smell. 102 bean soup, said Mama. I used to make it for your father when he was sick. He loved black beans especially. I ate every delicious drop and felt much better. Mama took my temperature, and it was 98.6 degrees. She kissed my head. You're a special boy, George. I smiled and slowly got out of bed. I reached into my pocket and wondered if it was there. Perhaps you are thinking, was this all a dream? Was it real? Later that day, I wrote down my story and shared it with Mama. Much later, I shared it with my own children. Much, much later, I shared it with my children's children. Now, today, my 102nd birthday, I share this story with you. And the answer is simply, yes. 102 times, yes. The end. I think this is a very sweet story, and one that could be read over and over, because surprisingly, in a picture book with really not a ton of words, there's a lot of layers there. So it's a really sweet book that, again, I think sort of, you know, asks the reader to read it a few times. So I'm hoping again that you think about this idea of reading aloud, not just to your children, but, you know, to yourself and to a significant other, to friends. There's so many reading book clubs out there now. I wonder if, like, maybe they should start reading some things aloud. Could be kind of an interesting idea. So until we read again, this is Storytime with Janet Keeler.